Okay, so tonight we're beginning Melachas Tochen. This is our next Melacha now in the Sidur de Pas. We are almost ready to bake our bread. After we plant our wheat, we harvest it, we purify it of all the impurities. We've done Dash, Zora, and Borer. We removed all the impurities from our kernels. So now we have our purified grain kernels, which may be stored up in our silo. And the next stage in the Sidur de Pas is where we grind them up into flour. And so, which obviously we're going to use to make our bread. And so this then becomes our next malacha, our next av malacha in the Lamites Malachos, the malacha of Tochen. If you grind up kernels of grain or herbs and you grind them up, so that's going to be one of the avos malachos. Fine. So the goal for tonight is to try to figure out what is the definition of malachas Tochen. What's the productive quality of this malacha? That'll be the goal for tonight. We're probably going to finish the malacha in 2 weeks, probably next week. By next week, we'll be done with this malacha. Okay, so in order to analyze the Yisod of Melachas Tochen, we need to move over now to the Gemara here on Ayin Daled Amud Beis. The Gemara here on Ayin Daled Amud Beis brings Rav Papa, who tells us the basic halacha, which is going to spark the whole sugya of Tochen. Rav Papa tells us that if a person chops up silka on Shabbos, so that is going to be subject to Melachas Tochen. What is silka? So Rav Rishonim explains silka refers to beets. And so Rav Papa is telling us if you chop up beets on Shabbos, that is going to be subject to Melachas Tochen. Now, the big question that comes up is just to figure out what's the exact case in the Gemara. We're going to see that there are nuances about to explain what's the case in our Gemara. What's the implication? What does this Gemara come to teach us about Melachas Tochen? So that's the agenda for tonight. So we're gonna have two basic approaches in the Rishonim. For how to explain once again, what's the case in the Gemara? The Gemara tells us that chopping up beets is subject to Tochen. Two basic approaches, what's the case in our Gemara? The first approach is going to be the Shita of Rashi. The second approach will be the approach of Rabbeinu Chananel, which Lahalach will be the same as the Rush. There are other variations, but these are the two main approaches in the Rishonim that'll give us the basic Yesodos we need in Melachas Tochen. Fine, so let's start with approach number one, which is the approach of Rashi. So Rashi tells us, what's the case in our Gemara? What's the case where you chop up the silka? Rashi says the case is where you're cutting up these beets into small pieces. You're mincing, Rashi says, mincer, balaz, if you mince these beets, you cut them up into small pieces, that is the case in our Gemara. And on a basic level, the Gemara would be teaching us that Tochen is not limited to a scenario where you grind it up into granules, into a powder form. But even if you just chop it up into small pieces, even if you cut it up into small pieces, that's also subject to Melachas Tochen. That would be the basic explanation of our Gemara, according to Rashi. Now, there's a very big discussion in the Mefarshim how to understand what types of foods are subject to Melachas Tochen. So just to round out our first approach here, just to finish off Shita's Rashi, we're going to point out Rashi's Shita on the matter. What types of foods are subject to Melachas Tochen? If you cut up different foods, so when will you violate Tochen? So the Chazon Ish points out that it's mashma from Rashi and Kof Chav Ches Amud Aleph. The Rashi holds that Tochen is not restricted to any types of foods. Any types of foods that you're going to cut up into small pieces will be subject to Melachas Tochen. And the Diak seems to simply be that Rashi there, in explaining the Gemara, has three more instances, three different types of foods, where if you cut them up, you're subject to Tochen. So it's mashma that Rashi holds that Tochen is not limited to beets. For some reason, it'll be subject to any time you cut up any types of foods, that'll be subject to Melachas Tochen. And the Rush also spells this out in Shitas Rashi. If you look at the Rush from the Marmakomos, he spells out Rashi as stating that anytime you cut up yirakos, any vegetables into small pieces, that's subject to Melachas Tochen. So that is approach number one in our Gemara, how to understand what's the case in our Gemara, what are the implications for Melachas Tochen, Shitas Rashi, that our Gemara is telling us that anytime you cut up any food really into small pieces, that's subject to Tochen. Tochen is not limited to where you pulverize it, but even if you just cut it into small pieces, fine. Okay, so let's move over now to our second approach, which is the approach of the Rabbeinu Chananel. If you look at Rabbeinu Chananel from the Marmakomos, so Rabbeinu Chananel gives a different perspective, a different take on what's the case in our Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel says that really the case in our Gemara is not where you're cutting up these beets into small pieces. Rather, the case is where you're crushing them into tiny particles. He says specifically the case is not where you're being mechatech and cutting the beets. You're specifically being koseish and crushing the beets into tiny particles. So that's Rabbi Nachmanel's explanation of our Gemara. And in order to figure out just the facts of the Shittas Rabbi Nachmanel, we have to understand why is he limiting the case to that circumstance? Why is he telling us the case can't be where you cut it up? Why does it have to be where you crush it into tiny particles? So the simple conclusion of Rabbi Nachmanel, one would be tempted to deduce from Rabbi Nachmanel, is that he's going to hold that tochen only applies if you pulverize an item. That, as opposed to Rashi, who said that there's a chiddush in our Gemara, tochen even applies if you cut it up in small pieces. The simple, you know, deduction from Rabbi Nachmanel would seem to be, why can't it be where you cut it up? Because he's going to hold tochen is limited to a scenario where you pulverize the item at hand. If you just cut it into small pieces, that's not going to be subject to meleches tochen. However, the Eglei Tal points out that that simple deduction from Rabbi Nachmanel does not seem to be accurate. Because there's another Rabbi Nachmanel later on our Amud, that gives us another piece of the puzzle, which is going to have to change our perspective on the Shittas Rabbi Nachmanel. The Gemara later on brings up a certain case, and Rabbi Nachmanel on our Amud, in explaining that Gemara, makes the point that if you dik bekanim, if you cut up these reeds or these pieces of wood, so that's going to be subject to meleches tochen. So Rabbi Nachmanel seems to be spelling out pretty explicitly that if you cut up pieces of reeds, these pieces of wood, that's going to be subject to meleches tochen. Even though you're not pulverizing, you're not crushing it into tiny particles, that can be subject to meleches tochen. So we now have to conclude that Rabbi Nachmanel does not limit tochen to a case where you're pulverizing it. Even if you cut it into small pieces, that can be subject to tochen. So we have to reassess then, so why is Rabbi Nachmanel in our Gemara, when it comes to chopping up the beets, why is he so insistent that the case must be where you're crushing it into tiny particles? Why can't it be that you're cutting it into small pieces? That's the issue that we need to figure out in Rabbi Nachmanel, not on a conceptual level yet, but for now, just on a factual level, what is the Shita of Rabbi Nachmanel? So there could be different ways of explaining Rabbi Nachmanel's Shita. I'm going to point out one straightaway way of understanding Rabbi Nachmanel's Shita, which is going to line up with the Shita of the Rush, Lahalacha. The Rush has a variation in our Gemara, how to explain the case in the Gemara, but Lahalacha, the very simple way of learning Rabbi Nachmanel's Shita is to line them up with the Shita of the Rush. And that is to say that Rabbi Nachmanel is going to specifically limit tochen when it comes to food. When it comes to food, Rabbi Nachmanel is going to hold, tochen only applies if you pulverize the food. If you break it down, reduce it to tiny particles, to granules, to powder-like form, that'll be subject to meleches tochen. But if you just cut up the food into small pieces, that is not going to be subject to meleches tochen. This is in contrast to non-food items like wood, like reeds. There, Rabbi Nachmanel is going to hold that if you cut it up into small pieces, that can be subject to meleches tochen. Now, why that should be, we're going to ultimately try to explain. But now we're just trying to figure out what is the Shita of Rabbi Nachmanel. This would be the simple way of learning Rabbi Nachmanel's Shita, that he's limiting ochel by ochel, ain't tchina by ochlen, that tchina by ochlen only applies if you grind it up, if you crush it into tiny pieces, tiny particles, but cutting it up into small pieces would not be tochen, as opposed to non-food items where he would hold it is tochen, even if you cut it up into small pieces. And this also does seem to be the Shita of the Rush. If you look at the Rush from Mar Makomos, he also spells out that when it comes to food, cutting up food into small pieces is not subject to tochen. It would only be tochen if you pulverize it and you break it down into tiny particles. So that would be our second approach now in our Gemara for how to explain what's the case in our Gemara, what are the implications for Hilchos Tochen. And with that, we have two basic approaches now in the Sugya. This concludes the facts on the table. Our Gemara told us a basic din that if you chop up beets, that's subject to tochen. We have two basic approaches in the Rishonim. What's the case in our Gemara? Rashi Shita is that you're cutting the beets into small pieces. You're not pulverizing it. You're just cutting it into small pieces. And the Chiddush of our Gemara is that even cutting up food into small pieces is subject to tochen, even though the Av is grinding it up. Even though you're not pulverizing it, that's also subject to tochen. And we pointed out any food item, according to Rashi, that you cut up is subject to tochen. And the second approach is Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rush. They're holding that lahalacha tochen, when it comes to food, only applies if you pulverize the food, not if you cut it up. As opposed to non-food items, reeds, there you can cut it up without pulverizing it, and that's subject to meleches tochen. Now, there are other variations in our Gemara. If you look at Tosos, he has a variation on how to explain the case in our Gemara. But these are the two mainstream ways of learning the sugya, which are going to give us the insights that we need into the melacha of tochen. So we'll stop for a quick second now just to take any questions on the facts, and then we're going to start the analysis. Any questions on the facts? We're good? Okay. Ben, a thumbs up? Thank you. Okay, fine. So, okay. Okay, so now the question becomes, so what's the Hesver in this Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rashi? What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rabin Chananel and the Rosh? So every sugi has its own Akron. So, you know, some sugis have a Chazanish, some sugis have Egli Tals. This sugi has a rugged shover. There's a rugged shover who gives us the Hesver in this sugya. Rabbi Sachs apparently quoted it in Shir. I saw it quoted in Sfarim. So, you know, that's the marmakum for this sugya, the sugya of Tochen. So the rugged shover is in Safnas Paneach on the Rambam, in Perak Chof Aleph Halacha Yidches. And he gives us the key insight into the sugya that opens up the whole sugya. So let's spell out the insight of the rugged shover, and we're gonna take his insight and turn it into a chakira to be masber the machlokes that we're having between Rashi versus Rabbeinu Chananel. The rugged shover makes the following point. In our sugya, so we're having a debate. Does Tochen apply to cutting up food into small pieces? Rashi says yes, but Chananel and the Rush say no. And the question is, what's the deficiency in this situation? What contrasts this with, let's say, the Av of Tochen? You know, certainly grinding something up into flour, that is the Av of Tochen. Why is this case so different? You know, okay, it's not as small, it's not powder-like form, but what exactly on a conceptual level differentiates between the case of cutting up food as opposed to, let's say, the Av of Tochen, where you grind up kernels into flour? So the Rugged Shover gives the following distinction, which he's using to be masber these types of shitas, not our exact two shitas, but it's really the same basic hesber that we're going to use for our machlokas. And that is like this. He says there's a basic fundamental difference between grinding up kernels into flour in contrast to cutting up food into small pieces. And that is that when you grind up kernels into flour, halachically speaking and conceptually speaking, we consider flour to be a different entity than grain kernels. The rugged shover, Kidarko, shoots off marmakomos all over Shas to show us this point. You know, many places in Shas where we consider the flour that was ground up to be a different halachic entity than the kernels when they were intact. It goes to the halacha of Shinoi Kona, that if you change an object, you know, you could be konid for Ilchus Gezela. Different places in Shas where we see when you grind up kernels, you make it into flour, that is a different halachic entity. In contrast to that, says the rugged shover, if you cut up food into small pieces, that is not a different halachic entity. You may have changed its form, but you know, you've changed it from being whole to being sliced up, but it's not a different halachic entity. Ultimately, food is food is food. It's edible. It serves the same function. It serves the same purpose. It's the exact same halachic entity. That is the insight that the rugged shover gives, which he's using to be masber these types of issues. And we're now going to take that insight of the rugged shover, and we're going to turn it into a chakira now to be masber this machlokes in Rashi versus Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rush. So now we have the kalim to now analyze. So what is the yisod of Melechas Tochen? We're now going to be choker into the yisod of Melechas Tochen in order to figure out what's going on in our sugya. So there's a basic chakira now. There are two basic possibilities for how to explain what is the yisod of Melechas Tochen, what's the productive quality of Tochen, which we're going to see is going to be at the heart of the whole sugya. So the chakira goes like this. The first side in our chakira is to explain that the yisod of Tochen is the way Rav Parnas put it was to say it's a concept of deconstruction. It's about taking an entity and breaking it down into smaller pieces. We can understand that many times having something broken down could be very beneficial, could be very productive. Sometimes something's not so useful. If it's big and clunky, when you break it down into smaller pieces, it becomes accessible, it becomes more usable, it's beneficial. And so that could simply be the productive quality of Tochen. It's a concept of deconstruction, taking something and breaking it down for a productive purpose. That's the first side in our chakira. But there's a second approach that we can take now, which we appreciate now based on the rugged shover. And the rugged shover spells this out. And that is to say that maybe that's not really the sort of Tochen. It's not about breaking something down per se. But maybe a second sound in our chakira is to say that Tochen is going to be about conversion. It's about taking a certain item and converting it into a more refined, different item. It's about taking something that's whole and bulky and transforming it, converting it into a more refined item. So that's a different way of looking at the yisod of Tochen. I think the rugged shover has a lashon about being molid, a davar chadash, something like that, creating a new entity. So that's the basic chakira we're having now at the heart of Melechas Tochen. What is the yisod of Melechas Tochen? What's the productive quality? The first thought is to say it's a concept of deconstruction, taking something and just breaking it down, which can be very productive. And the second approach is to say it's not about deconstruction per se, it's about conversion, taking a certain entity and converting it into a more refined, different entity, creating a new refined entity through the process of tochen. So now we'll just take Ben's question, and then we'll take this chakira and be masber our sugya. Yeah, Ben, you have to unmute yourself.
You mentioned before that the Ragacharva said that the difference between flour and grain was that there's a halachic, that there are halachic nafkaminas between the two. Is that what's important, or just that fact that there are halachic differences illustrate so that there?
That's a simen. Yeah, that was a simen, not a sibo. He was just bringing a simen that we see that we consider flour as a different entity from the kernels, as opposed to, you know, food, where it's the same exact, it serves the exact same function. Whether it's sliced up or whole, it's meant to be eaten. It's the same item. That's the point of the Ragachavra. So we're turning this now into this chakira. As you can see, we're taking a chakira now. So what's tochen about? Is it about just breaking something down, or is it about making a new item? Do you have to make a new item out of the tochen? So let's now take this chakira and now plug it into our machlokas between Rashi versus Rabbeinu Chananel. So in our sugi now we're having a shaila, is breaking, you know, cutting up food into small pieces subject to tochen or not? Rashi says yes. Rabbeinu Chananel says no. So let's now go through our chakira and show how each side in the chakira play out differently in this machlokas. So we're going to the first side in our chakira. First side in our chakira is to say, what's the yisod of melachas tochen? It's a concept of deconstruction. It's about taking something and breaking it down for some productive purpose. So working with this first side in our chakira. So what would we say? Should tochen be limited to a case where you pulverize the food, or even if you slice it up into small pieces? So it's very mistaber to say that working with this first side in the chakira, why should tochen be limited to a case where you pulverize something? Even if you slice it up into small pieces, you're tapping into the yisod of tochen. Tochen is about breaking something down for productive purpose. Why do you have to specifically make it into granules? Even if you break it up into small pieces, you're tapping into the sort of tochen. You're engaging in a process of deconstruction. That should be an issue of tochen. And so that'll be the hesber behind the shita of Rashi. Rashi is going to be working with the first simplistic side of tochen, the simple way of looking at tochen. It's about breaking something down. So Rashi concluded, why shouldn't tochen apply if you know, cut it down into small pieces? Why do you have to specifically pulverize it? Whether it's food, whether it's not food, it's all the same. You're doing deconstruction, it's productive. And therefore, that's why Rashi has a very simple approach to melechas tochen. So that's the basic hesber behind Shittas Rashi based on the first side in our chakira. Let's move over now to the second side in our chakira. The second side is to say that really sort of tochen is not really about breaking something down. It's about creating a new item. It's about converting a certain whole item into a different, more refined entity. That's the sort of tochen. It's about conversion. Now, working with this second approach, we now have the tools to maneuver the zigzag of Rabbeinu Chananel's shita. Rabbeinu Chananel had, you know, a lot of different takes on tochen, that by food you have to pulverize it, by non-food you can cut it up. But what's driving Rabbeinu Chananel's shita? What's the logic behind these distinctions of Rabbeinu Chananel? Based on the second side, the chakira, and based on the Ragachar's insight, we can now understand what's going on with Rabbeinu Chananel, because it's going to come out like this. As the Ragachar pointed out, when you cut up food into small pieces, that is not considered to be a different entity. It serves the exact same function. It serves the exact same use. And maybe its form was a little bit changed, but it's the same item. And therefore, that's not considered a conversion. If tochen is about being molded a davar chadash, like the Ragachar says, about conversion, well, there's no conversion in this situation, and therefore that's not going to be an issue of melechas tochen. That is why Rabbi Chananel concluded there's no tochen if you cut up food into small pieces. That's not called a conversion. It's not a new item. It's very nice you broke it down. It might have been very useful for you, but that's not the yisod of melechas tochen. Tochen is about converting it into a new type of entity. When will you have melechas tochen according to Rabbi Chananel? When do you have a conversion? So Rabbi Chananel is going to hold that you have a conversion under one of two circumstances. The first circumstance where you can have a conversion is where you pulverize the food. If you don't just break it down into small pieces, if you demolish the food, if you pulverize it into tiny particles, that already is such a significant change in form, that's called a new item. You have if you take a silka, if you take a beet or any item, and you crush it into a powder-like form, that is such a big change in form, that's already considered to be a different entity. That's considered to be a conversion, at least for Hilchas tochen. And so that's why when it comes to pulverizing it, that'll be subject to tochen according to Rabbeinu Chananel. And a second situation, you know, that's all by food items. But a second situation where we're going to have conversion according to Rabbeinu Chananel is by non-food items. The regulations are going to be different. Because by non-food items, by, let's say, wood or, you know, reeds, if you cut up reeds. So as opposed to food, where whether it's whole or whether it's cut up, it's really serving the exact same function. It's all just meant to be eaten. So it's the exact same item. When it comes to non-food items, that's not the case. You know, wood, if you have a piece of wood, if you have reeds, so a big slab of wood serves one function. That could be a beam in your house. A small piece of wood serves a different function. That's for firewood or anything like that. The different sizes characterizes it as different uses. It has different function. That can characterize it as a different entity. You don't have to specifically pulverize wood or reeds to make it into a different entity. Once you start cutting it down and changing its shape, you're giving it a totally different purpose, a totally different use. And now it's firewood, it's no longer a plank. That's going to be considered to be a conversion, at least for Hilchas Tochen, according to Rabbi Hananel. So that is why Rabbi Hananel is making these interesting distinctions for when Tochen applies. The underlying Yesod is all about one concept of conversion. It has to be making a new entity. When's it called a new entity? By food, you have to pulverize it, because food is food is food. Ultimately, it's just meant to be eaten. Whether you cut it down or it's whole, it's all meant to be eaten. It's the same thing. You pulverize it, that's already considered to be a different entity. When it comes to non-food items, even if you cut it up into small pieces, if you know that can be considered to be conversion depending on the item at hand. If it serves a different function, if it's a different shape, a different size, that's also considered to be a conversion. So that's the fundamental hesber in this machlokas, which is really based on the critical insight of the Ragged Shubber. Okay. Any questions on this whole analysis? Good? Crystal clear, Ben? It's good? Okay. Okay, fine. Fine. So that was all part one of tonight's shir, where we're laying the framework for Melechus Tochen. We had this Gemara chopping up Silka subject to Tochen, and we have our two basic approaches in the sugya now. What's the case? Where does Tochen apply when it comes to food? Do you have to pulverize it? Can you cut it up into small pieces? And we showed conceptually that it's coming down to a basic hakira at the heart of Tochen. If Tochen's about, is it about deconstruction or is it about conversion? And now, in part two of tonight's shir, so we're going to discuss an interesting possible nafkamina in this chakira. There could be a few different nafkaminas in this chakira. Ultimately, next week, we'll see more nafkaminas. But for tonight, we're going to discuss one, you know, very reasonable nafkamina in this chakira. So that's the agenda for the remainder of the shir. So it begins with a tosefta. There's a tosefta in Shabbos. I think it's in Perek Tes Vav, which states the following halacha. The Tosefta tells us that if you mash up figs, if you're merasek figs, which most Mefarshim translate as to mash, if you mash up figs, that is usher to do on Shabbos. You can't mash up figs or caribs on Shabbos. Why can't you mash up figs on Shabbos or caribs? So the reason is Tochen. This is going to be an issue of Melechus Tochen if you mash up figs or caribs on Shabbos. Comes along the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish makes a deduction from this Tosefta, which is going to have implications in practical halacha. Chazon Ish says that we see a very important practical yisod from this Tosefta, and that is that Tochen is not limited to a situation where you break down an item into separate pieces, but even if you mash it up into a mush, even if it remains as a single mass, but it's now mushed up, that's also subject to Melechus Tochen. Because when you mash up figs, so it still remains one big single mass. You're not actually going to have separate pieces. It's going to remain one big single mass. Yet the Tosefta tells us that it's subject to Tochen. So we see from this Tosefta, so it says the Chazon Ish, even if it remains a gush echad, it's one single mass, but you mushed it up, that's also subject to Melechus Tochen. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, we're going to come out with a chumrah lahalacha. And that is that the Chazon Ish says, this is considered to be a very famous psak of the Chazon Ish, that there's a serious problem with mashing a banana on Shabbos because of Melechus Tochen. Says the Chazon Ish that you can't mash up a banana, let's say for a child, for a child on Shabbos, at least in a normal manner, because that's going to be an issue of Melechus Tochen. Because when you mash up a banana on Shabbos, so it's true, it's not going to break down into separate pieces. It's going to remain one single mass. But we see from this Tosefta that doesn't matter. Even if you mush it up, that's also subject to Melechus Tochen. Therefore, says the Chazon Ish, if you mash up a banana, that's going to be a real serious issue of Melechus Tochen. Now, ultimately, we're going to see next week that there are permissible ways of mashing up a banana, even according to the Chazon Ish. But for now, we're just discussing the basic, sugya of Tochen, just the basic facts. And in terms of the Maisa of Tochen, so says the Chazon Ish, mashing up a banana is also subject to Melechus Tochen, as is evidenced by this Tosefta. Fine. So that's the sheet of the Chazon Ish. Comes along Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe, and it's very interesting. He actually quotes the Chazon Ish. He quotes the Chazon Ish, and he argues in the Chazon Ish. There are actually three different machloksim between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish in this one tshuva. It's unbelievable. The Chazon Ish has a tshuva, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and they have three different machloksim on this one topic. And so, next week, we're going to have more machloksim between the Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe. But tonight, this is our first machloks between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish in the sugya of Tochen. Rav Moshe argues on this psak of the Chazon Ish. Says Rav Moshe, if you mash up a banana, that is not going to be subject to Malachas Tochen. Tochen is limited to a situation where you break something down into separate pieces. If you mash it up into a single mass, if it remains a single mass, even though it's mushed up, that is not an issue of Malachas Tochen. So Me'ikar Adin, says Rav Moshe, really mashing up a banana should not be a problem of Tochen. Rav Moshe is going to be concerned for the Shita of the Chazon Ish, to be Yotz of the Chazon Ish. So Halach L'Maaseh, we'll discuss next week the Halach L'Maaseh on this issue. But for now, just in terms of the Yisodos of the Sugya, Rav Moshe says Me'ikar Adin, there should be no issue of Tochen when you mash up a banana on Shabbos. Now, of course, the Chazon Ish didn't just say it in a vacuum. He brought a raya, a precedent to his Yisod from the Tosafta. The Tosafta told us that if you mash up figs, so that's an issue of Tochen, even though it remains a single mass. So that was the whole precedent for the Chazon Ish Shita. So what's Rav Moshe going to do with the raya from the Tosafta? How is Rav Moshe going to explain if mashing up a banana is not Tochen, why is mashing up figs Tochen? So Rav Moshe is very much aware of this Tosafta, and Rav Moshe makes the following distinction. Moshe says that if when you mash up figs, so although technically it will remain a single mass, but it's going to break down into separate pieces. You're going to see separate pieces that are created when you mash up the figs. They just remain stuck together by a molasses. There's the sticky, syrupy substance of the figs is going to hold together the pieces of the figs, but you're going to see separate, distinct pieces that were cracked, that were crushed up when you mash the banana. Therefore, says Ramosha, that's why that's subject to Tochen, because again, Tochen is about breaking something down into separate pieces. And when you mash up figs, they're really breaking it down into separate pieces. It's just that they're stuck together by, there's a separate substance holding them together, but they're separate, discernible, distinctive pieces that you will see. In contrast to that, says Ramosha, when it comes to a banana, if you mash up a banana, there are no separate pieces that you're going to see. It's all one cohesive single mass. And therefore, that's not going to be subject to Malachas Tochen. And Rav Moshe emphasizes that he did a scientific experiment. He tried this all out with utensils. And this is the metzias. You'll see it for yourself. If you mash up figs, there'll be separate pieces that are stuck together. If you mash up a banana, there's going to be a single cohesive mass. So those are all the facts on the table here in our nafkamina we're trying to develop here about the contemporary issue of mashing banana on Shabbos. Does that fit under Tochen or not? Chazon Ish says that it does fit under Malachas Tochen. His precedent was from the Tosafta. Rav Moshe says that it does not, he thinks that Me'ikar Adin should not fit under Malachas Tochen. Tochen is only if you have separate pieces. And the question is, what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the two approaches in this Machlokas? Yeah, Ari.
Just more of a question. According to Rav Moshe, what's the Chiddush of the Tosefta, that even though they're connected by some molasses, it's still considered
Okay, so either that, I'll tell you the truth. There's actually a lot more to the Tosefta. I totally streamlined the Tosefta. It talks about matching it up to give to Zakenim. There's more to the Tosefta, so I think that won't be an issue, but that's a very good Hara. Okay, so the question is, so what's the Hesber? Any other questions before we go for the gold here? Okay, anyone want to give it a shot? So the question is, what's the Hesber in this Machlokas? And so there's a sefer, Meshiv Nefesh, one of the Rosh Kolos in Grus, he wrote a sefer on Shabbos, and he points out that it's very reasonable to connect this machloks to Chazon Ish and Rav Moshe to our Chakira tonight. We had a Chakira tonight. What's the Yisodah Malachas Tochen? Is Tochen about deconstruction, or is Tochen about conversion? And he points out that it's very reasonable to connect this machlokas haposkim into that Chakira. It's not compelling, but it's very reasonable. Anyone want to give an analysis of this machlokas? Okay. Okay, so everyone's nervous over Zoom. Fine. Listening in. Okay. So he points out let's start with the first side in our Chakira. If you start with the first side in our Chakira, we say the Yisod of Tochen is about deconstruction. It's about taking something and breaking it down. So it's very reasonable to argue that if the Tochen really is about breaking something down, so it has to be broken down into separate pieces. If you just mush something up, if you just mush up a banana, there's not really deconstruction in the full sense of the word. You really, when you mash up a banana, you're changing its form. You're not really breaking it down. So that would be a very reasonable way of explaining the shita of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe may be paskening lahalach, and this does line up with a very simple approach, halach lamaisa, that tochen lahalacha is about deconstruction. It's about breaking something down. So in order to break it down, it's got to, you know, be reduced to separate distinct pieces. If it's one big mush, you're not really breaking it down. You're just changing its form. So that would be a very simple way of understanding the psak of Rav Moshe lahalach. On the other hand, if we move over to the second side in our chakira, so now things are going to come out differently. The second approach was to say tochen is not really about deconstruction. It's not really about breaking it down. It's about conversion. It's about creating a new entity, as the Ruggish Harbor puts it. That's really the sod of Malachas Tochen. Working with the second approach, so now it's reasonable to take a different perspective on the issue of mashing a banana. Because although when you mash a banana, you're not really breaking it down into separate pieces, but the Chazanish himself emphasizes you're doing a very big change in form. The Chazanish actually, he considers mashing a banana to be the equivalent of a full-fledged act of grinding. He spells this out. He thinks mashing a banana is like grinding up wheat. He thinks mashing a banana is a full-fledged act of grinding. You're doing a very big change in form. And so working with the own hanacha of the Chazanish, it would be very reasonable to treat mashing a banana as a conversion. If the Chazanish himself is telling us that when you mash a banana, that's considered to be a real serious change in form in the object. So it's very reasonable to treat that as a type of conversion. Although you haven't really broken it down, you are transforming this into a more refined entity. You're taking your whole banana, you're mashing it up, you're converting it into a different, more refined entity that would satisfy the second definition of Malachas Tochen. So that's a very reasonable, it's not compelling, but it's a very reasonable analysis of the Machlokas HaPoskim for how to understand the Yesod of Tochen, at least on a halachic level. So that's just the nafkamina that is pointed out by this interesting Sefer Meshiv Nafish. Any questions before we finish up? Okay. Just to finish up, so there's an interesting sub-nafkamina in this machlokes. Rav Silver, once my Rebbe once pointed out, that there's a sub-nafkamina in this machlokes in Chazanish versus Rav Moshe. Forgetting about the Sfaras for a moment, at the bottom line is, Rav Moshe and the Chazanish are having a machlokes, whether mashing of a banana is subject to tochen or not. Chazanish is saying that it is an issue of tochen, and Rav Moshe is saying that it's not an issue of tochen. Now, the Rav Silver pointed out that there's an outflow of this machlokes, another, call it a sub-nafkamina in this machlokes. And it comes from an issue that the Chazanish himself brings up in the very same piece, which I put on the Mar Makomos. The Chazanish raises the following issue. He says, let's say you have the following scenario. What if before Shabbos, you mash up a banana, and then on Shabbos, you want to cut up that mashed up banana into small pieces? So you mush it up before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, for whatever reason, you want to dice it up into very small pieces. The question becomes, would that be an issue of tochen when you dice it up or not? So Rav Silver pointed out that this is actually going to be a sub-nafkamina in this machlokas. So let's go through the two shitas of the Chazanish and Rav Moshe, and we're going to show how they come out with different approaches on this issue. Let's start with the shita of the Chazanish. The Chazanish holds that if you mash up a banana on Shabbos, that's an issue of melechas tochen. So what's the Chazanish going to say now about this situation? Let's say you mash up a banana before Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, you cut it up into small pieces. So should that be an issue of tochen? Should that not be an issue of tochen? So the Chazanish himself tells us that it's not going to be an issue of tochen. The chumrah of the Chazanish by mashing up a banana is going to produce a kula in this situation. In this situation, says the Chazanish, it's going to be mutter to cut up that mushed up banana into small pieces on Shabbos. Why is it mutter? So it's based on a principle we're going to have next week, which is the principle of ein tochen achar tochen. We have a principle that if you subject an item to tochen one time, then if you subject it a second time to tochen, the second act of tochen will not be a violation of melechas tochen. Let's say you crumble up bread. So typically that's not going to be an issue of tochen on Shabbos, since the bread already was ground up initially when it was made into flour. The second act of crumbling it up is not an issue of tochen. Ein tochen achar tochen. Says the Chazanish, so in this case, ein tochen achar tochen. The first act of mashing the banana was a process of tchina. You halachically ground it up. Then the second time you cut it up into small pieces, that's a second act of tochen, ein tochen achar tochen. That's going to be perfectly permissible on Shabbos. The Chazanish Lishitaso told us a kula that came out of his chumrah. Since mashing up a banana is a problem of tochen, it will be mutter in this case to cut it up because of ein tochen achar tochen. On the other hand, Rav Silver pointed out that if you move over to the second side in our chakira, the shita of Rav Moshe, so now things are going to come out differently. Moshe holds that if you mash up a banana, that is not called the process of tochen. since it's one big single mass, one big cohesive mass, Rav Moshe says that that's not called a legal act of breaking it down. So according to Rav Moshe, it comes out that when you mash up a banana before Shabbos, that's not called the process of tochen. You did not subject this banana to tochen. If you then want to cut it up on Shabbos into small pieces, that is an initial act of tochen that is being performed. That would be a problem of tochen, according to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe's kula in mashing up a banana produces a chumrah in this situation, in that if you mash it up before Shabbos, since that's not called an act of tochen, when you cut it up on Shabbos into small pieces, that would be an initial act of tochen that would not have the heter of ein tochen, achar tochen. So with that, we've concluded tonight's shir. So let's just summarize, and then we'll just point out the basic halach l'maisa. So tonight we were discussing the basic yisodos melachas tochen. We have the case of parim silka. If you chop up these beets into, if you chop up the beets, it's subject to tochen. Machlokas Rashi versus Ben Chanan and the Rush. What's the case in the Gemara? Rashi says you're cutting it to small pieces. Ben Chanan says that you're pulverizing it. And we saw that came down to a basic hakir. What's the sort of tochen? Is it about deconstruction like Rashi? Is it about conversion, you know, yitziris dabar chadash, like the Ragashavar pointed out in the Shita of Ben Chananel? And we pointed out an interesting potential nafkmina halacha, a very reasonable nafkmina halacha about the issue of mashing a banana. Is that subject to tochen or not? Chazanish says that it is tochen. Moshe says that it's not tochen. It's reasonable to connect this to this hakira. And we pointed out an interesting subnafkmina, forgetting about the svaras for a moment, just a subnafkmina in Rav Moshe versus Chazanish, is would it be mutter if you mash up a banana before Shabbos, can you then cut it up on Shabbos? According to the Chazanish, that's mutter because of ein tochen achar tochen. According to Rav Moshe, that's going to be a problem because, according to Rav Moshe, that it's an initial act of tochen taking place on Shabbos. Just to quickly point out the halach l'maisa. So halach l'maisa, me'ikar demi paskin, like Rashi, typically speaking, if you cut something up into small pieces, that is going to be an issue of melechas tochen. Any type of food into small pieces is an issue of melechas tochen. It could be, though, that under certain circumstances, we'll take into account the shita of the Rush and the Rabbein Chananel. In certain cases, as a tziruf, we'll take into account their shita in combination of other mitigating factors to permit certain activities on Shabbos. So that's the basic halacha l'maisa for tonight. And next week, we'll finish up the melacha of tochen. Thank you very much for joining us. Shkayach.